Boy, that was a rousing special. Amen? What a blessing. It's just like His great love. So I just turned to that hymn, and I mean, just the words in there, just what a blessing. A friend I have called Jesus, whose love is strong and true, and never fails, however 'tis tried, no matter what I do. I've sinned against this love of His, and we've all done that, haven't we? But when I knelt to pray, confessing all my guilt to Him, the sin clouds rolled away. Amen. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day to day or day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like His great love. So that's what we were hearing. And it's just a great reminder that He loves us. I don't understand why He loves us, and I don't understand why He loves me. But He does. And we love Him because He first loved us. And I'm very excited about that. And I tell Him so because of the fact that He loves me. Amen. And that's something that we need to just revel in all. Hopefully it's not just a selfish motive, but I know that when I do that, I find myself happier. But it's because He blesses us. And to be able to go around truly with a smile on your face, in spite of what's going on right now, because obviously, this is a crazy time that we're living in. It's very, very difficult. It's a time when, really, it's easy for a person to just lose their head. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people out there are losing their heads. Because a lot of folks out there, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. But even people that know Christ, some of them are just trying to, they can't get their hands around this. It's overwhelming. And yes, I will say that because I hear some things. I see the way this election took place, the runoff elections in Georgia and all that's happened. And, you know, that was discouraging to see that. Amen? We're human. I don't want to pretend that we're not human and that I'm unfazed. I don't want to be, I want to be transparent with you. Sure, I have my fears and I have my concerns. And I look at that and think, well, there's a lot of things, you know, down the pike that I'm, you know, as I play it out in my head and you come to the logical conclusion and there's a lot of things you go, this doesn't bode well for us who love Christ, for those of us who want to proclaim the gospel. There's a lot of people that want to shut down free speech, the right to assemble. I mean, there are just people that are flat out denying the Constitution and the things that we have and the liberties that have been given to us can be easily taken away. And what I see is there's a lot of people, they're all pawns. The devil has stepped in and God's allowed it. There's a door open, the devil has stepped in, and now the devil is like in the house right now and he is just grabbing everything. And then he's gonna just kind of come after us eventually. And it might not take long, but by the grace of God, we pray that God will give us liberties, that we go forth. But, you know, the devil's big guns are eventually just going to be, and they already are. I mean, it's happening in California, it's happening in Washington, and it'll happen here, but those big guns and the crosshairs are going to be dead set on the church. And he's going to use people to come after the church. So what is that going to do? The devil's going to try to sift us like wheat. But remember what the Lord said to Peter when he said, Satan hath desired to sift you like wheat, but I am praying for you. Amen. So the Lord's praying for us. Brother Jordan brought that up, that he was saying to the Lord, please pray for me. He knows that the Lord prays for him. But I just like the way that he phrased that this morning in Sunday school. I hope that you'll come next week for Sunday school. That'll be the last week that he teaches on it. But folks, we need to be praying, and we need to look to the Lord and trust him. And here's that great thought that the Lord is praying for us. And it's just encouraging. What a blessing. So with all of that, yeah, a lot of people are losing their heads. But for those of us that are saved, it is a time for us to keep our wits about us. But let's not do that in our own strength because we'll not hold up. We've got to keep our eyes on Him. It is through Him and by His strength that we'll be able to do it. And it's a time, folks, for us to pray. It's a time for us to trust the Lord. It's a time for us to really be in this Bible. And it's a time for us to show forth something that we possess, at which this world sorely needs, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we are at a time like this. When we look in the book of Esther, we've come to a time like this right now. And God is saying, will you stand forth as my people? Will you look unto me? Because I'll give you strength. And he'll use us. It's a time for us to become totally serious about what we really claim to believe and allow God to work in our lives, whatever it is that he wants to do in our life, so that we can show forth ourselves to be different. We're a different people. It is sorely needed at this time, folks, and I want to challenge you and challenge myself that we would stand forth for Christ. We're to withstand in the evil day, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about. So with that, I want us to take a look at a passage of Scripture, and then I'm going to hone in on one particular verse, but let's go over to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, while we're turning there, remember to be praying for a number of people. We've got a number of people out today, but I got some phone calls. Brother Park, his leg is really hurting him, and I think it was because of that fall several weeks back, maybe a couple months ago, when he was out on visitation and he took a tumble, and it really came from that, and his hip began to hurt his leg, and so be praying for him. Pray for the Lems. They have COVID. Bob and Susanna, they've been coming for the last couple of months, but the last few weeks they haven't been here. Leo Betty, that's Leo and Jerry Betty. They don't live here. They're planning on moving here. He's a correctional, he works in a correctional facility as a guard. He's trying to get all the way past COVID. I know he's doing a little bit better, so pray for him. And Jerry is doing much better. She had it as well. She's all the way better. Then also pray for the Freddies. You know, they haven't been coming, but they're part of that group that, understandably, they're just a little, nervous about being here. And we have a good 7 or 8 couples that are in that situation. Let's remember to keep praying for them. Also, the Sardeliches, their daughter Annette and her husband Victor, they all have COVID. So pray for them. Pray especially for Mrs. Freddie, Virginia. She's not doing as well. And just lift her up in prayer, amen. Darla, we got a text from Darla and the Robinsons, Wes and Danielle and Ethan. They're all not feeling well, and there may even be another list. So we're a little bit thinned out this morning, but that's because we've got a lot of folks that are not here. All right, so here we are in Philippians chapter 2, and so what we have here is the Apostle Paul has written this letter to the Philippians, and it is from prison that he writes this. And the theme of this book is to rejoice. Rejoice, kind of a little bit along the lines of what 1 Peter is talking about, going through suffering and yet rejoicing. In chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And here he was in prison for preaching the gospel. And he could have become bitter, but he didn't. He was rejoicing. And he tells this church to rejoice. And he gives them the example of learning how to work amongst each other and to be a blessing to one another at the beginning of chapter 2. And then he talks about how we're to have a humble spirit and how we're to have esteeming others better than ourselves. You know, so much is brought about, so much about self-esteem. You know, really when you get right down to it, the Christian should have not high esteem or low esteem, really should have no esteem in regard to themselves. We're to be dead to ourselves. And we're to esteem others better than ourselves. That's Christ-like. And that's what you see at the beginning of the chapter. And then it speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ who became a servant. This was God. And he was equal with the Father because he is God. His goings forth are from everlasting, it says in Micah chapter 5. And Jesus Christ, who is God, manifest in the flesh, that's amazing. God becomes a man. And he didn't stop becoming God. And yet he was all man. And he comes and he humbles himself, his humiliation. You see that in the beginning there, the next few verses in Philippians chapter 2. And then he gives his life for us and he goes to the cross. And he humbled himself as a servant, even to the death of the cross. And he did that for every one of us. And he was buried and rose again. And the Bible says that every name is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every name is going to confess, every name. And I confess his name now as my dear Lord and Savior. And so he is exalted. And so then now Paul turns the corner and begins to just encourage this church to allow God to work in your life. to allow him to build you up and strengthen you so that you can become more like Christ himself. And he says here in verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And so he says, you've always obeyed when I was there, and I hear that you still obey the things of the Lord, and that's good. There was a lot of positives about the Philippian church. They were a church that served the Lord and was growing, and so he encourages them and exhorts them to continue to go that direction. He says, work out your own salvation. Now, he's not talking about through your own works. He says, let that work be allowed to be worked out in you, and he's talking about God doing the work through them. The Holy Spirit who does that work of sanctification in our lives. Let that work, process be worked out in you as a result of this great salvation that you have in Christ. And then he says in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." God, in his great pleasure, wants to work in your life and in my life. And if we'll just simply humble ourselves and yield to him, he can bring about some great results in our lives. And then he says this in verse 14, which is not out of place, because in that process, it's not always a comfortable and smooth and easy process. Any kind of training that we go through in this life, for anything that amounts to anything, is not going to be easy. Training means going through some tough effort. You know, it is just going through whatever it is that's laid out before us. And so that's why this verse is put there: do all things without murmurings and disputings, because as we go through some trials and as we go through some training, we are very, very apt to complain. Why am I going through this? And the Lord says, "You don't understand, child. But I'm making you after my image. I'm wanting to use you. I'm refining you. If you're going to refine metal, it's going to go into the heat. It's going to go into the fire, and we're going to go into some fiery trials so that we become more like Christ. That's the purpose. That as we look unto Him." Will be different after we go through trials if we go through them the proper way. And God will do that. And so that's what he's saying right there. And so now we're going to hone in on verse 15. And that's my message today. There's a whole lot here, but I just want to speak about all that's there in verse 15. And really, this message is called a call to arms, Christian, a call to arms. You know, we are in a battle. I brought that up before out of Ephesians chapter 6. The suit of armor that God has told us to put on, and it's because we are in a spiritual battle. And in that spiritual battle, we're to go forth for Christ and allow Him to use us. He's given us all of those pieces of equipment and a sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He's given us that wonderful piece of offense that we go forth, and God will help us to use that. So here in verse 15, I'm going to go ahead and highlight that verse, but let's go first to the Lord in prayer. Now, Father, we come to you this morning, and we're grateful to you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for a new year that you've allowed us to enter. And Lord, we pray with, certainly where there's trepidation, there's some fearfulness, and there's no doubt some apprehension here among us because of the things that we've seen, because of an election that didn't play out like we would have liked it to. But because it didn't, doesn't mean that you're no longer off the throne or on the throne, that you have abdicated your throne. You have not. You are still on the throne. And that is such an encouraging thing. We know that you are over all, you are above all, and the fact is that you are in our lives. That's a great, great thing for those of us here that know Christ as our Savior. And Lord, we know that you want to do some great things, and we pray, Lord, that we would honor and exalt you. That we would allow you to do the work that you want to do through us. And Lord, may we recognize the fact that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And help us, Lord, to just keep our thoughts and our minds upon you. It's a peace that would pass understanding. So we thank you for that. So now we pray today that you would be with a number of folks that aren't here. We pray that you'd heal them up, help them to get back on their feet again, and hopefully back here all together again. And we just pray that you would bless now as we look into your word. I pray, Lord, again, that you would help me not to get where I'm not supposed to be. I want to just allow you to do your work through me today. Help me not to say anything I shouldn't say, but I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit. I pray that you would help me to be an encouragement to my brothers and sisters here in Christ. Lord, you know all of the needs that are represented in this room today, and I pray that you would be able to address each and every one of them. We want you to have center stage. We want Christ to be lifted up, and I pray, Lord, that you would put me beneath the blood, behind the cross. Lord, help me. Help me to just be filled with your Spirit. So we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we see here in verse 15, as he continues to go forth with this church at Philippi, the Apostle Paul is led by the Spirit of God to encourage them in a number of things in order for them to make an impact on those around them, to make an impact on their society, in their community. And so he starts off right here by saying that ye may be blameless and harmless, that ye may be blameless and harmless. So starting with blameless, we see that that's 15 times in the Bible and 12 times in the New Testament, and 9 times did the Apostle Paul use it. So he used it a majority of times about being blameless. Now, being blameless, and let's not confuse that with being sinless. That's not the same thing. Listen, we're not going to be sinless, all right? Now, that shouldn't give us an opportunity to make excuses for our sins. We're not to do that as Christians. Yeah, we have an old nature. We have besetting sins, things that we were involved with before we came to Christ. And those are the ones that usually come back and stare us in the face and that we have trouble with. But at the same time, let's not just think that we're supposed to yield to it and submit to it. We're not to be servants of unrighteousness in Romans, it tells us. So we're to look unto the Lord and say, Lord, there it is again, my old foe, and I just seem to fall to it so often. But God is merciful, and He forgives us our sins if we confess them. And then if we'll follow up with that confession and say, Lord, would you help me? I know that for you it's no problem to help me to get over this, but I understand that I have to yield. And as we yield, we'll see progress. We'll see along that process, we'll see God doing something in our life that we haven't seen before. So it's just good for us to understand that we're not going to be sinless, but let's not make excuses all the time. Let's ask God to give us victory. But it's blameless in the sense of, listen, that we would have a testimony, that we would be, that it would mean something for us to portray to people, not in a phony way. I think people need to understand and know, listen, I'm not perfect. I don't want to come across to somebody who doesn't know Christ, I'm a sinner that's been saved by God's grace. And I don't deserve anything but hell. I deserve to be in hell today. But I'm not. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven because of Him, because of Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing that is. But it's just good to be able to, not only just portray it in a facade way, but it's really in the heart that there's something different, that there's something, significant going on inside of my heart, that there's a happiness, that there's a joy. And that happens, folks, as we yield to the Lord. And that's part of being blameless. You don't want somebody to look at you and I and say, ah, and you call yourself a Christian. We've got to be careful about that. It's easy for us to fall into a trap. It's easy for us to get some bad news in our workplace, and then we just kind of, oh, well, that stinking ball. We've got to be careful. We don't want to go down that road. Even if all of the coworkers are trashing somebody, we don't want to fall into that trap. We want to do what's right. We want to honor the Lord because, listen, folks, never before in history we can be captured on a video, film at any moment because everybody's walking around with a camera now and they can take video on us. I mean, just amazing. Anything that takes place, somebody was taking a video. Wouldn't that be sad if we were just complaining at work and somebody said, that guy's a Christian, let me just go ahead and take a little video while you're spouting off about how horrible things are around here, and then later he just shows that to you. I thought you were a Christian. Wouldn't that just be terrible? And listen, again, we're not perfect, but we want to have a testimony that is pleasing unto the Lord. And that's why wherever I go, I try to be as guarded as I can, because it's not my own reputation. It's not that at all. It's because I represent Christ. And I don't want somebody to do that. Yet I know what a fool I can be. And I don't understand that I'm just a sinner that's been saved by His grace. But I want to be determined that that just doesn't happen. I remember one time I was driving in a work truck down the road. It was in Nampa. This was probably 20 years ago, maybe longer. And I'm driving. And this was before I was on staff at Treasure Valley Baptist. Yeah, so it was, it was 20 years ago I was on staff. So before that, maybe 25 years ago, I'm driving along and I'm coming up to a red light. And right as soon as I stop at the light, I just look at the person next to me. It's my friend, Craig. You don't know who this is. And he's just smoking a cigarette, and he turns and sees me at the same time. And if anybody could have swallowed a cigarette right then, he would have swallowed that cigarette. Wouldn't have been a good idea. But I mean, I could just see the discomfort on his face, and it was almost like, brother, I'm not even worried about that. I said, hey, Craig, how you doing? He was in a convertible. Well, if you're a Christian and you drive around and there's a lot of people in the church. Probably should not be smoking in a convertible. Go do it behind a shed somewhere, all right? So by the way, if I had my druthers, okay, now listen, I am not condoning smoking cigarettes, okay? I've never smoked one. I've never smoked a whole one. I remember trying a few puffs with my dad one time or something a long time ago, and I was like, why would anybody want this? And I'm glad I just didn't get a taste for that. So, yeah, that was not something that ever appealed to me, and I'm not one that wants to condone that. But let me just say that I would rather, if I had my choice, if I had my druthers, I would rather have somebody have a problem with cigarettes than being a gossip. I would. I mean, I would rather pastor Marlboro Baptist Church than Backbiter Baptist Church. I'm serious. It's just not good to go around and be, backbiting on people. I'd rather have us, what's that cloud of smoke behind the sheds? Oh, that's the deacons. They're over there just having their little break. Listen, it's about being blameless, and being blameless doesn't happen by accident. We have to be purposed in our minds and in our hearts that we're going to do it. It's having a testimony again that honors the Lord. It's hard to build, and it takes time to build, but it's easy to break. And it's easy to break very, very quickly. But folks, if we have failed, if you failed, confess it and just start over again. Don't let the devil come. He likes to accuse the brethren. He likes to condemn us in our thoughts and in our heart. Oh, you've done this, you've fallen, you have no right to show yourself at church again. No, you know what? We are all welcoming, because listen, we're all sinners. And it's just good when we're forgiven by the brethren, when people open up their arms to us. And listen, so I say, if you've struggled and you've fallen at something, then just get it right with the Lord and just get right back and serve Him. Because we have a faithful God who loves us and forgives us. And then now when we take a look at harmless, we are told to be harmless. We are not. We are commanded not to be brawlers, especially a pastor. I'm supposed to be gentle. The Bible says that's how we're to be. It says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, it says it very clearly. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. And this world is full of wrath right now. Not everybody, but there's an awful lot of it. And right now, what this world needs is a calm, reasonable head. Somebody that would just enter a situation and can just calm, a troubled situation. Do you and I fit that description? Are we somebody that can calm a situation? Sometimes we might be the one that is inciting things with husband and wife relationship. And the other one needs to, the Bible says we're not to be, rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. We want to go back and forth and, oh, yeah, and your mother too, and we just want to escalate the thing. And it's like, oh, yeah, you want to bring my mother into this now? And we have a tendency to want to do that. But it's just good for us to diffuse it and just say, listen, I'm sorry. I'm a big part of this. My fault. Forgive me. And it's just good if we'll learn how to how to walk in the new man, how to walk after the Spirit, and just be able to be a calming effect. Now, so we are to be gentle and we're to be harmless. Certainly, there's exceptions to that rule. That doesn't mean we're not to defend ourselves. I'm all for guns, amen? And you know, this administration that's coming up, they're not all for guns. We know that. And I think Americans, we have that right, amen? And it's just important for us to defend ourselves. And there's times we have to defend ourselves from something that's a threat. And may we as men and women too, and there's some women that are packing. I like that, yeah. They can take care of themselves. There was a congresswoman in Washington I just saw. She said, I'm going to keep my, I have right to bear arms. She says, I'm 5 feet tall, but I can, it's my right. Well, she's taking a lot of flack for that, but it's our right. Amen. But listen, yeah, there are exceptions, but as a rule, folks, we're to be harmless. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verses 21 through 23, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He just committed himself unto his Father. He committed himself unto the Father, and he just trusted him. So, folks, may we learn to be blameless and harmless, because that in itself is just going to stand out. You'll be a standout if you just go ahead and people see that. They'll just say, what's with that person? What's with this guy that works in that department over in the warehouse? What do you mean? Haven't you noticed? Oh, yeah, you mean how he's just different from it? Yeah, well, he says he's a Christian. Oh, okay. You know what? It makes a difference. And people talk. And they're not going to come to you and say something, but they may say something to somebody else because you and I are being different. Because we're different in our tone. We're different in the way that we present ourselves. And then it says that we're the sons of God. Be blameless and harmless. We're the sons of God, folks. And Brother Jordan brought that out this morning as well in Sunday school, that as he brought forth the Lord's Prayer, or really the disciples' prayer, or really the model prayer that we see in God's Word, as he taught the disciples how to pray, and we can call God our Heavenly Father because he's our Father and we're his children. So we are sons of God. That is quite the description, wouldn't you say? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, it says in 1 John chapter 3. That we should be called, and as John was writing that out, you had to think, he was like, oh Lord, this is wonderful that, yes, we are called the sons of God. I'm sure maybe some tears came down his eyes as he was writing that holy writ. What a wonderful thing to know that we are children of God. It's got to sink in with you and I that we belong to him. And he belongs to us. And what a great, great thing. What a blessing, quite the blessing. A son of God, a child of God. John chapter 1 and verse 2 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It couldn't possibly be any better than that, that we are called sons of God, children of God. But along with being a child of God, sons and daughters, it tells us, and I'll read a passage in just a little bit, it comes with great responsibility. It comes with great responsibility if we're a child of God. A great preacher said this one time, he says, as the sons of God, remember that the eyes of all are upon you. More is expected from you than from other men, because ye have a higher pedigree, for ye are descended from the very highest himself, and therefore should be the highest and best in the world. Folks, we should be different, amen? We've got to be different on how we talk. I mean, just the way that our speech goes out of our mouth and out of our lips. Do people see something different with you and I? Do they hear a positive tone? Is there some optimism that comes forth and rolls off of your lips? They need to see that. You know, they need to know that we're a Christian. They need to hear, you know, the right words The Bible says, let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth. And sometimes I think we as Christians, a lot of words, they're getting to be a lot of vulgar words and choices of words, even for us as Christians. Amen? I'll say amen. Amen. Pastor Garcia, amen. Yes. It is happening. And we've got to be careful about just the choices of words that we use. Is it honoring unto you, Lord? I use this particular word, Lord. Is that something that is, is it a grief to you? And the Lord will show us that. I don't really like that word. Then we say, Lord, it's going to be out of my vocabulary. And I don't want to have any part of it. Whatever it might be. Listen, man, I said all the words back then, okay? And I remember I played sports and something didn't go right. And man, I'd take the bat and I'd throw it down to the ground and there'd be some expletives. If I didn't hit if I hit an unforced error, the tennis racket, I'd throw that racket and there'd be some words. Now, when I got saved, God said, I don't want those words in your vocabulary anymore. And it took a little bit of time and they'd still kind of come out. That even 44 years, I mentioned it last week, something, happens and it's like, whoa, and there's that old word. And I'm like, wow, I don't want anything to do with those words. Lord, help me. We should be different in the way that we talk. How about our body language? Sometimes our body language is just not good, and maybe we're not even aware of it. Sometimes it's just good for us to look in the mirror. Well, we do that a lot, don't we, anyway? But I mean, just examination-wise, and just like, is this what people are seeing? Oh, man, Lord, forgive me. I mean, really, there should be, a body language that is in ourselves and the smile on our face. Someone once said, we are a billboard for the Lord Jesus Christ. And people see us. And people take notice, again, as I just mentioned just a little bit ago. But how about our manner of business? How about how we transact with other people? Maybe in business or otherwise, just the interaction. Is it girded with honesty and integrity, and are we dependable? Do people see something different about, I would trust that guy, I would trust that gal if she just gave me her word for it. I would give her, several thousand dollars if she just, did the deal with a handshake or to that man or to that young person, because I've just watched them. They're just honest. And there's a lot of integrity there. Do people say that about you and I? Do people look at us and say, that's a trustworthy person? That's how business used to be, played out in this country a long time ago. May we be that kind of an individual. How about our appearance? I think it's important for our appearance that it would honor Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I think... there's some lines I'm just not going to go down, but I think it's just good that we're just not sloppy, that we're just not, that we take care of ourselves, that we look presentable. And I'm not always, I don't walk around in a suit everywhere I go, by the way. this is like one of the least favorite things I like wearing, all right? I mean, I do it, but I just think it's honoring to God. That's in my mind, okay? I know a lot of churches, they want to be casual, and I'm not going to judge anybody. But I'm just not going to go down that road, because if I just get too casual, it affects me. Okay, so I'm not here to be a judge. That's just great. But sometimes I look at that and just go, it just doesn't look right. It just looks like people are going to a beach or something or a party, okay? So you're saying, yeah, now you are judging. Maybe I am. I'm trying not to go there, because I just know my own heart. And my own heart just accuses me, because I see that I fall short so much. So I don't want to go there, but I'm just saying, listen, how we dress and just not being sloppy and being appropriate, okay? Just being appropriate. I think it's important to be, you can be stylish, but you don't always have to be so trendy. Any amens?
Amen.
I mean, yeah, it just wouldn't work for me if I'm up here preaching and I got my little skinny jeans on. It's just not going to work. I would look like a human funnel. I would look like the letter Y. And you'd be going, why? Why? Why is he doing that? I'm just saying, okay? I mean, I'm 63. I'm not going to act like I'm 21, okay? And I mean, you know, there's like, and I'm not getting on. I mean, you know, there's, you know, as far as the language and the lingo, I don't have to go there. I might go there once in a while just because, you know, I'm in a state of denial. I'd rather be in the state of denial than in the state of Washington, okay? Sorry, some of you are like, hey. And listen, let me just say this, you know, as far as us, you know, that are older, I mean, yeah, you can be stylish. And let me just say this, that we're to be modest. Can I speak to every one of us? And I'll speak to every one of us, but I can say that this is a trap for young people. You know, I mean, some people buy clothes off the rack and it looks like, looks like it's 30 years old, it's got holes all over it. What are we doing? When I buy something, I want it to look new. I paid for it. I didn't pay for all those holes. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says this in 1 Timothy 2:9. You could write it down. I'll just say this. And it says this about women. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Modest. Modesty. That's the issue. I'm not here to dress anybody or to say you got to wear this or that. No. It's just modest. Be modest. And honor the Lord. You know, some ladies can be more immodest in a pair of jeans than they can be more immodest in a dress than in a pair of jeans. I don't know, I'm getting all mixed up, but you know what I'm talking about. Listen, it's just an issue of, Lord, is it pleasing and honoring unto you? Because we can become so like the world. And you know what? I'm just going to say this, young people, that's easy to do because of peer pressure. You know, we don't want somebody to look at us like, what a nerd, what a nerd. Well, listen, you know, there's a fine line between all of that, but I think we want to err toward what's just pleasing to God, what's honoring to you. And so, yeah, there's that peer pressure. We don't want to be singled out. Nobody likes that. And that's why, because of that pressure, we find ourselves wanting to be like the world, but the Bible tells us that we're to be different. And we don't hear that too much, this doctrine of separation, but the Bible's real clear about it. I mean, I got to be honest. I could be walking in the store, and there's some young lady in front of me, and I'm like, oh, I got to keep my eyes up. You know, right? I don't have to fill in all the blanks here, but she's like, oh, man. And then that puts me in a dangerous situation because I'm not looking at the ground, and I can fall over so easily. That shouldn't happen at church, though. Amen? Now it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, this is a great passage. It says this in let's just look at verse 14. I'll read 14 all the way to the end of the chapter. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? All right? We're not to be unequally yoked with the powers of darkness. We're children of light, it says. We're to be different. And what concord or connection or agreement hath Christ with Belial? Obviously, that's rhetorical, but it means, of course, none. There's no concord there. There's no communion. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, which is an unbeliever? There should be nothing in common. And he says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them. That ought to just bowl us over that God's living inside of me. And so I need to think about what I think about. I need to think about how I speak. I need to think about how I deal with others. I need to think about how I dress. Because I answer to Him. And Lord, are you pleased with this? And it says that we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore, what does he say here? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father. He says, I want you to be different, even how you dress. Now, the problem here is for us to get all dressed up and me in my nice suit, and then there's really nothing inside in my walk with Christ. That's sad. It ought to be that we take We take to heart what's inside in our walk with Christ, and that we want to live for Him, and that we want to please Him, and that we would want to put a smile on His face. I just think what a blessing that the Bible says that we can bless Him. You know what bless means? It means to make happy. You know the God that we can make Him happy. If we go about and we just say, Lord, I just want to please You. I just want You to be happy. I know I'm a fool. I know I'm just a rascal. I know I've got an old nature that I give into many times. But God, the bottom line is I want to please You. I just want to honor Christ. Would You help me? And God's so good to help us to do that. So may there be some substance, but He wants the outside too. He cares about what the outside looks like. And He wants us because people can't see into our hearts, but they can see, folks. They can see us, and they can see our body language, and they can see how we dress, and they just say, you know, yeah, that person's different. And the Bible says that we're to be different. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says that we're to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And the love of the, you know, if we love those things, then God's love is really not in us like it should be. Love not the world. We're not to be like the world. We're to be different. God tells us that we're a peculiar people. In Titus chapter, well, we read those verses in Titus chapter 2. He says about Israel that they were a peculiar treasure, but basically the same things that He said about him, He has now put on the church. Not that we've replaced Israel, we haven't done that, but Israel rejected Him. And now He says, we're His peculiar people. We're His peculiar people, and you know what? We're children of a King. And He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And anybody that is part of a royal family on this earth, then they dress like it. They dress like whoever their parents are, the king and the queen. It runs through the family. You don't just walk around in anything you want. But it ought to be pleasing unto the Lord. And then He goes on to say that not only are we the sons of God, and we'll get back here to Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2 again, but He says that we're the sons of God without rebuke. And just as we spoke earlier, without rebuke, that we are to live in such a way that the people, that the individuals, that the men of this world cannot rebuke us justifiably. If they do revile us, let's make sure that they have to lie to do it. We went through 1 Peter recently on the Sunday nights, and in 1 Peter chapter 4, I'll just read some verses. It says this in verse 14 and 15 of 1 Peter 4, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." And so, folks, we need to make sure that our life is just right and clean before God. I am not a big fan of cats. I'm sorry for those of you that are cat lovers, but I'm just not a fan of cats. But one thing about cats, they do like to keep themselves clean. That's about all they're about. They don't even notice you until they know that you're going to give them some food, okay? But I mean, they want to keep themselves clean, and we ought to be that way. We want to keep ourselves clean before God and make sure that we stay that way. Just like Daniel, who had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He said, I'm just totally got a purpose of mind that I just want to please and honor God. And that's what he did. And then why do we do this? Well, the very next part of this verse tells us. It says, because in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Does that describe our nation or what? It certainly does. There's a lot of it. There's a lot of fraud going on. We just saw this election, and a vast majority of Americans, and the ones that didn't, I don't know what they were thinking, but a vast majority of Americans realized something was not right about that election. There's a lot of fraud, there's a lot of corruption, and we see that just in our midst. It's certainly in our government, and we see it on other levels as well. I mean, abortion, how many millions and millions of babies have been just murdered right in the womb? And then we think about all of the other things, and there's a whole list of them, a whole slew of things, drug trafficking and human trafficking, and the list goes on and on. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." The whole world lieth in wickedness, and so we're to stand out in the midst of them. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and the very first part of that chapter talks about perilous times shall come, and men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And we're seeing those types of, well, they're not qualities, but characteristics abound. They just seem like they're increasing more and more. And as they increase more and more, may that just give us more, incentive to want to do right and to stand out. So we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And then this last part, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We are to be lights in this dark world. And this world is getting darker, but we can rejoice. And we can go about with a joy in our heart if we'll live for Christ, if we'll get in this Word. I know that when I'm in this Word, and I'm truly in it, I'm in it every day, but when I'm really immersed in it, it just feeds the inner man. And when the Word of Christ dwells in me richly, the inner man is just rejoicing. And I just find myself, no matter what the situation, I'm just at peace. And there's a smile on my face, and it's a real smile on my face, because it's Christ. It's the Spirit of God who's doing His work. But folks, we are to be lights in a dark world. Oswald J. Smith said this, "The only generation that can reach this generation is our generation." The ball is in our court, and we have an opportunity to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." People need to see something about you and I. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We're to walk as children of light. I think of the example of John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 5, it says that they went out to him in Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. They went out after him, and they wanted to hear him. You know why? Because he was exalting Christ. Because he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. In John chapter 5 and verse 35, that's why it says this, that he was a burning and a shining light. And people saw that he was just all lit up for Christ, and they came and were drawn to him. And it was the Lord that was drawing those people to him because he was exalting Jesus Christ. And so may people see that light in our hearts and in our lives and know that, you know, that there's a heart for Christ inside of each and every one of us. It's a dark time. And folks, we need to be a light in a dark time. We know how important it is for us to have lights when we're in a dark area. You go camping and, you know, somebody says, "Yeah, I'm going to go to the bathroom. You better take a light with you. I'll be okay." Famous last words, right? And then, 2 hours later, where are they? Where did they go? And then what does everybody do? They go out with lights and probably find somebody wandering out in the woods. I thought the tent was over there. We need lights. We need lights in this dark world. Brightly beams our Father's mercies from His lighthouse evermore. But to us He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning. We're the lower lights. Send a gleam across the wave, some poor, fainting, struggling seaman. You may rescue, you may save. And you know that as soon as you start thinking that you're wasting time, that nobody cares. God's going to bring some wayward soul to you who is looking for direction. And you'll have an opportunity to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, I don't want to just stop there necessarily. I'm not going to go into verse 16, but obviously holding forth the word of life, that is huge. I just wanted to center on verse 15, but yes, holding forth the word of life, that we just take the Bible everywhere we go, holding it forth. This is what we stand upon. This is the promises that we hold dear and near to our hearts, and we hide this word in our hearts, and that's how God is able to use us as we take this word of God and honor it and lift it up and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we are in a dark time, but we have an opportunity to be different. The Bible says we're a peculiar people. We are a peculiar treasure unto God, and we're to be different. And we're to stand out in dark times. And it may get darker. Not necessarily. Let's just keep praying that God will just do some amazing things. Let's be praying that God will bring some folks in that will get saved. And we've seen some people saved here and there. I believe there's some harvest ahead. I do. And I believe God will honor that. But I believe that God didn't set up things here, even within His own church here, for just no reason at all. There's reasons for it. He's got something awaiting for us. Those disciples, when the Lord was speaking to them, after the woman at the well went into the city of Sychar, and she went and He was talking to them, and He says, you know, say not yet, there are 4 months to harvest. He says, the fields are white already to harvest now. And they maybe didn't grasp it all, it maybe didn't process in their heads like it should have, but it did in time. And they realized it. In fact, just a little bit of time, because all of a sudden they hear a bunch of multitude, they hear a noise. What is that? And all these people are coming out from the city and they want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And for a couple of days, they hear the Lord Jesus Christ teaching and preaching to them, and many got saved. And then it hit them, that's the harvest He's talking about. Not these fields of harvest around us, but there's a harvest of people. And you know, there's a lot of people around here that don't know Christ. And let's not fall into that trap, oh, they're just not interested. They're just not, no, that just dishonors God. Yeah, there are people that are going to, they're going to, you know, reject the gospel and their whole life, and they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. But we don't want that. Somebody told us about Christ. And let's be faithful to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them how much He loves them. And you know, God will bless that. And before you know it, it might start with a little trickle. But God will bless that, and there'll be more. And you and I might just go, wow. Where did some of these people come from? Well, that person just got saved. That family came 2 months ago, and none of them were saved. They just felt like they needed to go to church. They can't even explain it. They just said, you know, we need to go to church. They come, they got saved. This other individual over here, he was having some problems in his life, and he knew he needed to turn to God, but he didn't know what to do. He got saved. And then she got saved this way. And then that couple over there, God will do that. We just got to believe that God has a harvest, and that God wants to use us in this harvest, that we're to be lights in a dark world. Folks, it's a call to arms, Christians, that we're to go forth and serve Him and let Him use us whatever way He wants. And one of these days, we're going to stand before Him. Amen? We're going to be with Him. But in this meanwhile, let's labor on and please Him. Would you bow your heads at this time? And with your heads bowed, and we'll have the piano playing here in just a second. And Brother Jason's going to lead us in a hymn. Folks, where are you at today? Has God spoken to your heart about being different? We're to be blameless and harmless. We're children of God, the sons of God. We're to be without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's what we have right now. But we can be lights. We're to be lights in this dark world. God's spoken to you, would you just respond to Him? Maybe that means just coming to the altar and talking to Him about it. Maybe it means just there in your seat about whatever it is that He's brought up before you, then address it and talk to the Lord and respond to Him. If you're here without Christ, then I want to challenge you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He died on a cross for your sins that you could have eternal life. And He wants to save you. He saved every one of us. We're not deserving of it, but he loved us. And he loves you today if you're here without Christ. And we would encourage you to be saved today. We'd have somebody here that can show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the commandments, the exhortations, the rebukes that your word gives to us. Help us to take these and to respond to them in the right way. Help us to stand forth as your people in a dark time. Yeah, it's a dark time, and it may get darker, you know. But God, help us to be what you've called us to be. There are opportunities before us. There will certainly be opportunities down the road. Help us to be faithful where we work, in our homes, the places that we frequent. Help us to be different. We pray that people would look at us and think that we're different. Not so we could boast or brag about it. We don't want to do it for that reason. We would like it to be because we want to honor you. And we want it to be a reflection on you. Help us to do that. So we pray that you'd help us with any things that need to be addressed here. I pray that you'd work in each heart, mine certainly as well. And we praise and thank you in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.